Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Well, hey guys, welcome back to the Make Life Matter podcast. Can you believe we're more than a quarter of the way through 2024? Can't believe it. Don't know where the year is going so far. And I'm so excited to just sit down and have this conversation today. We've been talking about being on the show for a while, and we have so many mutual friends, but finally Nonda Houston is here. Nonda is the National Women's Director for the Assemblies of God. My husband and I are Assemblies of God pastors outside of Washington, D.C. She's been married to her husband, Gordon, for 41 years. They were lead pastors in California for 22 years, and she served out there as the women's director. And now she is serving all of the women in the Assemblies of God network across the United States. And so it's such a gift to have her here. And we're going to lean in a little bit to her brand new Bible study, or study for women, which is called Captivated. It's taken from 1 John 4:16, which encourages us to know and rely on the love that God has for us. So you're going to want to lean in for this conversation to know what it is to not only know God, but to know that he loves you, you can rely on him, you can trust him, and to be captivated by the love that he has for us. So Nonda, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here with you and have this time together.
Well, she's already been so gracious today, guys, because I've had computer issues all morning. And if you've had those, most of us have, you can feel my pain. And she was patiently and graciously waiting. So thank you, Nonda.
No worries. We all understand that.
I know, right? We have a love-hate relationship with technology. But so talk a little bit about your story. I know you've been in the ministry. I'm putting that in air quotes, even though we're all as Christians and believers.
Right.
If you're a believer listening, we're in the ministry of some form. But this has been your, you know, just your life's calling. So share a little bit about your story with us, Nonda. People that don't know you, maybe this is their first time meeting you today.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. I grew up in a home where my mom was a believer and my dad was not. Mm. And my mom would take us to church occasionally and pretty faithfully, but we started at a Methodist church. Mm. And then we moved and I went to a Baptist church where I was baptized. And just early on, I just had a love for the house of God. I mean, mm. I remember sitting in a Methodist church, not understanding things really as right. a 9-year-old, mm. but feeling so at home in the presence of God. I didn't have language for it at the time. Mm. But fast forward later, I know now that that's my call to ministry, to full-time ministry. So yeah. I am ordained with the Assemblies of God. And I didn't have language with it in that because I wasn't in organizations that really spoke that kind of language. Mm. So coming to the Assemblies of God Church, when I was in high school and I was dating my husband, that's when I was really hungering after God and saying, is there more? So I would go to this church and say, what do you guys think about it? And I'd go to the Assembly of God church. What do you guys think about it? Because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, I was in that season a couple of years prior, was the Jim Jones episode in Guyana where 900 yeah. people took their lives. So when I say I didn't want to drink the Kool-Aid, I really know what that means. Like yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to be, understand or take a part of some false doctrine. And I just didn't know, but I was hungering. And so that hunger grew to where I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then my husband and I were married, and we have been in married and in ministry virtually our whole life together. Mm. We set out as youth pastors. We wanted to be youth pastors till the day we die. We didn't want to do anything else, but God has plans sometimes, and not sometimes, he has plans, period. Yeah. And he really made it clear to us that the church that we were youth pastors at, and when our pastor was leaving, that we were supposed to run our name. So we were some of the youngest pastors in Southern California.
Wow.
And we ended up staying there for 22 years, raising our 4 children there, being very active in the community. Before being involved in your community was a thing, we were on the cusp of that, and really just in obedience to God. We didn't even know, but God used our church and was a hub and a transformational piece. And we served in lots of different areas in the city. So that foundation has been huge. And it's the lens with which I look. I always want to remember what it was like sitting in my church. I served on staff, and whether things made sense to me, whether they mattered to me. And so that's that pastoral lens is what I still try to keep on, even in my position here. So we stayed there for 22 years, and then God did us another suddenly moment. We came to the SoCal Network. My husband was asked to serve as assistant superintendent and then as secretary treasurer. And as I left my church family was like, "What are you going to do?" Because I had a lot of portfolios, a lot of jobs to do. As my children grew, I took on more. And just side note, I do believe for me and how God has called me in my position, not every ministry wife has an upfront position, but in my instance, what I could give attention to and focus on really helped resurrect or give life to some areas of ministry that needed it because of my influence. And I don't take that lightly. So anyway, I have a lot of experience in the local church. Love the local church. Went to the network for 14 years, and then another suddenly moment where we never ever, we're Californians, we've never ever wanted to or thought about or desired to leave Southern California, where our kids, our married kids are, our eight grandchildren, we have two more on the way this summer, our parents are there. So, but you know what? When the Lord leads in such a way that you know in your knower inside, that this is a direction from the Lord. He gives you the grace, and he changed it from this like Springfield, Missouri to Springfield, Missouri. You're like, we're having the time of our life here, loving seasons, deer in the backyard, snow. We love it. And so that brings us, yeah, to where we are today. And just I've been in the position less than 2 years. Next month will be 2 years. And so it's been a huge learning curve just how to operate from the national office and just with the nation, and actually because we have world missionaries, just looking at looking at my portfolio, my job, and the reach that it might have with our district directors and with other ministry partners such as yourself. So
Wow, that's amazing.
it's a thrill.
I love hearing your story, and I love that you've just been sensitive to the Lord at every, stage. I love those suddenly moments that you described. And, we have our plans, but the
We
Lord
do.
redirects them at times. And then we are in those, moments of decision of, am I going to really follow what the Lord is asking me here? Or am I going to kind of just stay in my comfort zone? And so I'm just so blessed to hear just kind of the way the Lord has used your life. We were young youth pastors out here outside of DC too. So I get that. And then we've been lead pastors. So between our youth and lead pastors, we've been here almost 30 years. And so, I can't imagine if the Lord asks you, you uproot, when you move and you do, and I'm a pastor's kid. So we moved several times, and you have to know, like you said, that that's the Lord. But when you do and you have that confidence, then serving him and following him is the greatest adventure. So we don't really want it any other way, right? I mean, that's.
So this is my coffee cup of the day. It's let the adventure begin. Somebody gave it to me as I moved here. And it really is. You know what? It's not something I had planned or even desired at all. But all of a sudden, God puts a love in your heart for things that He expands our heart. The Bible says He enlarges our heart,
That's
and
good.
that's what He has done. And we had made a lifetime commitment to our church. We never thought of leaving. We had such influence in the community. It took so long to earn and had favor, and things were great. So, but really, obedience is the better way. And it wasn't, I mean, it's not always easy. And yet, when you step into it, it's like stepping out of that boat and walking on the water. It really is.
That's so
So,
good. And for anyone listening here, like, I don't know, how do I know I'm hearing from the Lord? Like, you'll know, and you'll start to feel restless. You'll start to feel a bit of a disconnect from where you are, and knowing that God is pulling you into a new season, encouraging a new season. And so once that happens, and we keep resisting, I don't know how it's been for you, Nanda, but if I'm resisting the Lord, I just become more and more kind of uneasy, irritable. You have that process of grieving, and that's normal. It's a normal experience to feel like I've invested my life here and I'm moving away from this. But at the same time, then there's that expectancy you're describing. So for someone who's maybe not sure if they're on the cusp of a new season, maybe it's a suddenly moment for them. What advice or guidance would you have for them to make sure they know that they're hearing from the Lord?
Yeah, I think that's a scary part. Is this really you, Lord? This is what our question is. God, is this you, or is this pizza, or is this me wanting to run away, or is it a hard time? So that is the burning question, and that drives us to our faith. My husband and I, we've just we're people of prayer, and I know we can say, well, as believers, we all are, but I hope we are. But that has been a big part of really seeking God's face. There is something that, in hindsight, I don't always know it in the moment, but in hindsight, to see that there was that little, like you said, that uncomfortability, and I describe it as the grace for that place is lifting at that
That's
moment.
good.
And he makes us, I mean, the illustration I think we've used a long time is like those little eaglets in the mama's nest, you know, a mile high up, and it's all fluffy with down and beautiful and warm. And little by little, she unfluffs the nest and gets ready to launch her babies out and for them to take flight. And that prickly, like, oh, I'm feeling that. So that's one thing. But then, you know what? I do believe God knows where we live. He knows our address. He knows how to get my attention. Sometimes it's been in dreams and visions. Sometimes it's been just a knowing. Sometimes an opportunity has come that we're like, no, that just doesn't feel right in my gut, in my spirit. And so it is, you know, I think that is a journey in learning God's voice and what it sounds like. But he's not playing tricks with us either. He's not hiding his will from us. And this is my safeguard. I tell the Lord, I did this when we were moving. I'm like, Lord, I'm seeing all the, I'm feeling, I'm discerning what you're saying, that we're supposed to leave our family and our life in California and move to Springfield. And this is what we're going to do unless you close the door. And to me, that's the safeguard. The Lord knows how to close the door and keep us from not going in the
That's
place
right. That's right.
that he has. So to me, I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know, God, like he doesn't know already, but this is the way I'm going. So if it's not right, please close the door. I don't want to go anywhere where he's not leading me.
That's so good. And that posture of obedience and surrender, like that's something that we know, even if we were to make a step and it was the wrong step, the Lord is gracious. He's going to guide us right back. You mentioned something that I just want to tag team on, and then I kind of want to talk into this new study you have for women. But you mentioned, and this is where I think a lot of us can get a little tripped up, myself included. I was a worship pastor for 20 years, and I could feel that transition that we're talking about. I could feel the release. I could feel a shift. And there, it is scary. It's something you've poured your life into, and you can keep doing it at times, but you mentioned the grace lifting. I think that's so important. And this is what the Lord has really shown me and taught me. God anoints us for kingdom purpose and service to Him, right? We're anointed, but the seasons of what that anointing may be for can change. And that's where I feel like the grace is a little different than anointing. In other words, you're anointed. So for example, for me, I felt like, well, I'm anointed as a worship pastor. And then you go over to something else. Maybe you feel less quote unquote anointed, which is a whole kind of teaching itself. But that's, if we don't reframe that a little bit to understand, listen, whatever God is, however he's using you, his anointing is on your life for it. But grace comes on your life for assignments. Grace comes on your life for seasons. And so I could realize I could keep leading worship full time, but I don't want to do it without God's grace on me for it. And when you start to not only marry his, understand his voice, but marry that with, okay, God, is your grace on me for this? Then you can step back from the lie of the enemy thinking, oh, I'm not anointed anymore. I'm not this or that. No, rest in his love for you. Know that you're anointed. Know that he's called you, but be okay with switching to a new season and ask God, where is your grace on me in my life for this season? And I think if we understood that better, Nanda, we would not white knuckle and hold on to positions and seasons longer than we should. We would step into those new seasons and then make room for others that God is maybe calling. I look at what God is doing in our worship at our church now, And if I had not been obedient, then we would not be where we are. So
Right.
it's not only what he's doing in your life. He never works in a vacuum. So he's preparing others at the same time that he's preparing your heart. So for me, I've kind of followed that journey and I've seen what you're talking about. Any thoughts on that of just really knowing and understanding the grace on your life for those assignments?
Yeah, you know what? Last year, I did a Bible study on Esther, and it was so wonderful to journey through Esther as I was on this new place too, because Esther's journey is, you know, she comes from some horrible situations and circumstances, finds herself, it wasn't just a beauty pageant like we've kind of painted it in the past. It was terrible. She was chosen, God's favor was on her, but the favor was on for an assignment, for an appointed time, an appointed season, an
That's
appointed
good.
place. And so, yeah, I think for me, the time when, I mean, I'm settled in and I'm like, finally, God, I feel like I know what I'm doing a little bit. Now, he's not trying to be mean or anything, but like you said, there's others that need to come up and take those places. And the scary thing, and maybe the older you get too, is that, you know what, I finally figured this out and it feels good. I feel like I'm in the group. And to uproot and plant yourself, or be planted in a different environment and all the new things that come with it, I mean, that's a lot emotionally, mentally, physically, all spiritually, all of it. And I think that's the tension that we're like, am I up for this? But my experience and my testimony is, if God is bidding you to come, that's the call. Lord, is that you bidding me to come? That's what Peter said in the boat. If it's you to come, then bid me to come on out on the water. And when that is the, like you said, the posture of our heart, God is not hiding from us, and he will answer that. And then you just have to take a leap as well. There's no assurance of I'm going to see it written in the sky, but there is that knowing that to the best of my ability, Lord, we're taking this leap. We believe it's your will. And if it's not, you know, correct us, but based on what we know and our and how we've journeyed with you and how your voice sounds and how you confirm things, not just circumstances, but more than that, that deep knowing and intimacy with God.
It's so good. That's so good, Nana. I just wanted to make sure we didn't move on before someone might be saying, "Well, how did you know that you knew?" You
Yes.
know, and sometimes, like you said, you just have to take a leap. It can be
Yeah.
scary. The enemy's right on the heels of that, saying you
Yeah.
miss God or this
Or
is going
who
to
are
be,
you? Why do you think you can
who
do
are
that?
you to think that you could do this? And I've had those moments in my life where the Lord has called me to something and I'm like looking over my shoulder, like surely, like Gideon, like surely you mean somebody else, you know? So
When
we
I've been
get it.
at for one position I was asked to serve in, I asked the leader who was asking me, I said, I'm going to do the John the Baptist prayer. Isn't there another? Like, do you have somebody else in mind? That's, I don't feel qualified.
And I
But
think
my
that's
and in that situation, I said my head was saying no, but my heart was saying yes. My spirit was saying yes. So
And
I want to do
that awareness keeps us in a place of dependency on the Lord. So there's
100%.
nothing wrong with saying, I don't know if I'm up for this. You know, when we and I've shared my testimony here on the podcast, so I'm not going to go into that, but when we can depend on our own gifts, our own intellect, our own strengths, and God uses all of those things, but he ultimately wants us to stay in a place of dependency on him. That's where that kind of wild adventure comes in, where you're going to have moments where it feels a little bit scary and out of control, but just to know that he's ultimately in control of not only our lives, but what he's calling us to, which kind of leads me into Captivated. I'm sure you've seen quite a trajectory over the last 20 plus years that you've served in ministry and the way God is using his daughters, especially in this generation, just raising up women across the United States and, as you mentioned, around the world.
Yeah.
Why was this particular Bible verse angle that you've gone with Captivated? Why was this on your heart for women at this time? And especially 1 John 4:16. Talk a little bit about this, the verse, and the catalyst of why this has been on your heart for women.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it, you know, I really, really pray and have some people around me that pray with me, some trusted leaders that we have traditionally from the national office. There is, it's been called a theme, but I would like to repurpose that and say, a vision for the year. And so I've taken that really seriously, as my predecessors have as well, to see, God, where's your heartbeat? And I feel that there is, especially now, this is for multi-generations, but especially a younger generation who does not know of a God that loves them and that is pursuing them. And that when we are captivated, that word means to attract and hold the attention of. And for me, that's my testimony. And I was a young girl. And when I began to know the person and the presence of Jesus, I was captivated, and I've been ruined for the rest of my life by his, by that call. And I don't mean just an official or a professional call into ministry life. Like you said, we're all ministers. So, so that verse is about, loving God and knowing and trusting him. And, but the heart of the Bible study really is birthed in, is root grounded in, there's the word, grounded in Proverbs 3:5 and 6. And it is, to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that word acknowledge means also in the Hebrew, it means to know. And that word knowing is not just a casual, it's not informational, it's not facts, it is experiential, and it is intimate. And so that is my heart for women everywhere, that you would know God in an intimate and an experiential way. And I relate, I qualify this by saying, I love following the royal family. I just think, that they are the cutest bunch, and follow them on Instagram. And so, do I know where they're at or what their moves are and what they're wearing to this gala? Yeah, I follow slightly, yes, and I know them, but I know my husband. And we can say those same words and say, well, I know about somebody, I know of someone. And I do believe that if we're not careful, in even in our attempt to do the right things, like be in the word, be in prayer, attend church, be involved in a community of faith, I think that we can miss it by checking the boxes and seeing and getting the information, the knowledge, and missing the intimacy and the experiential relationship that God desires from us. That's why we've been created. And he knows us. I think when we focus on knowing him and knowing and searching for him with all of our heart, that then we will know that we are fully known also, which is a big deal right now, because people, do I matter? Am I seen? Am I, it's, I feel like today in this culture, that because it's getting so terrible, it's ripe for revival. It's ripe for what God is wanting to do. And so this word, that word captivate, doesn't the word captivate captivate you? Because it's kind of drawing you, right? It's pulling you in. And so that's why I was really compelled by it.
I love it. I think if women would really, as you're describing, and I love that verse in Proverbs, to know him, trust him with all of your heart. So there's our emotions, there's all that we deal with, and our mind. That's our will, our intellect. If all of that can be surrendered to the Lord and really honestly know how much he loves us, I just think that changes everything. That
It
makes
does.
all the difference in the world and how we
Yeah.
go through things. Even though I was raised as a pastor's kid in the AG, I've shared a little bit here. I still felt like the more I did for God, the more he would love me. I had this very legalistic lens on the way that I was approaching my relationship with the Lord. Now my health fell apart, 20 years ago, and God used that to really redirect and shift the trajectory of my life. But in that is when he taught me, I love you, period. Out of that love for me, you do. But so often I think we can get it backwards and think, well,
Yes.
I've got to run over here and do my tasks and do all of this and check all of the boxes. And that's not resting and relying on the love that God has. That's striving and hoping to earn it somehow.
Yeah.
So for me, this is so important. to understand God loves us and he wants us to know him. You've said it a couple of times. God is not hiding from us. The Bible is complex. Yes. God is completely other. Yes. But he also wants to be known and he wants to know us and to live in that love. Your face lit up when you started talking about this, like your eyes lit. So to me, that just shows you've experienced God in a way that has changed things for you. What would your guidance be, Nanda, for someone who's saying, I want to know God that way. I don't, it hasn't been my experience, or I feel distant from him. How would you suggest they start the process of moving toward knowing him, being captivated to him, like you're describing today?
Yeah, I think, we all need to take regular inventory of our life and see where we're at. And if you've drifted, there's times when we're, red hot for God, and then there's times that there's not, or maybe somebody's never experienced that. It's more of a religious exercise or experience. And when you were talking about how really it's the Mary Martha, it's the doing versus the being. And it's not, we are doers. Women are doers, but we also need to be okay with being, with sitting at Jesus' feet, with being seen and loved and valued, not because of our works. And it's funny that we say we're not about works, but then sometimes our actions are very works related. And I think actually ministry to women in church life, I would say just a broad brush, that many times when you say what is women's ministries, people will go to actions. Well, women's ministries is a tea, a Bible study, it's missions, it's quilting, it's selling, it's baking, it's doing all these things. And that is not the case. Women's ministries is first ministry to women, and it has to be about the person. And so for that person who is saying, you know what, I really have tried, I would say try again differently and say, and really lay it out there and be honest with God. Sometimes we're very maybe intimidated by God and by the word prayer, and and intimidated by the word of God. But to get a good translation of Bible, to get your the Bible on your phone, right? And just begin to read the Gospels and hear the words of
That's
Jesus. You know,
good.
we tend to start in Genesis, we get a few chapters, and then we get crazy into Numbers and at least some Old Testament stuff, and then we go, let's go flip over to Paul and see what he has to say. Oh wait, let's go check out Revelation. That sounds crazy awesome. But you know what? Read the words of Jesus. See what Jesus has to say. And really coming to him, he said, when you search for me, you will find me. It's in Jeremiah. You will find me. And so knowing that he is desirous, and James says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So it takes our step to say, what can I do to take a step in the direction to say, and he's not looking for a big, I don't believe the Lord's looking for some big display, but to say he's looking at our heart, an honest heart that just says, God, I want you more. I mean, I do that from Sunday to Sunday, sometimes in church sitting like, God, I feel empty. I'm drained. I feel distant. But just like you were saying, that to know God, and that's what the Bible study is actually about, knowing God in my emotional life, knowing God in my spiritual life, knowing God in my physical, relational, and my intellectual life,
So
knowing
good.
God with my mind. Sometimes Christianity gets the rap is that we check our brain at the door and pick up faith. And I don't believe that, because Jesus said there's two commandments: love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. So with everything within us. And I think that when we do those things that foster and create that relationship, and for instance, if I want to get closer to my husband, if I'm feeling distant from him, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to sit down and say, look, we need to spend more time with each other. We can be in the same room just watching TV, and that doesn't mean that we're getting closer. So also, we need to work on our communication. Also, other areas of sharing intimacy, right? So in the same in like ways, God is like that. Let's spend time, let's get close, let's share honestly, and pray and tell him your heart and give thanksgiving, and then listen, meditate on those words. So it's not a ritual, it's not a formula.
That's good. It's a
But it is making
relationship.
steps into, right, into create, into growing in your relationship.
That's so good. Yeah, that's so freeing. Just if you're kind of living by ritualistic approaches, to know this is a relationship that Nanda's describing, and the most important, crucial, critical relationship of your entire life. All your other relationships will flow from the way you see God, the way you experience the love of God, and then the way that you live in that love. And so that's really what Captivated is about. We're right here almost even right before summer by the time this airs. So Nanda, I'm thinking that women could go through this as a summer group together. It's only 6 weeks long. They would really be able to dig into what it feels like to just know God and to be known by God. So how can people get a copy before we hop off in just a minute here?
So you can get this resource, and there's other merch items that are Captivated related. We have clothing and all this fun stuff. And that's at myhealthychurch.com, and that's from the national office. So you can get that there. And I agree with what you said, going into summer or any time of year, to circle up with some friends, to circle up as a mom's group. I mean, I had four kids, so it was, go to the park with the mamas, at different seasons, even at something like that. But the Bible study does have individual questions as well as group questions, so it gets very versatile. And today I finished filming the videos that will be complimentary to that, and so about a 10-15 minute teaching that sets up the week.
Oh,
And
that's
so those
wonderful.
will be on women.ag.org, on our website. They're free, and that will be coming shortly.
Oh, that's wonderful, Nana. Thank you. Thank you for like just hearing the voice of God, leaning into it, and providing resources for women, especially just to know how loved they are by God, because that really truly changes everything.
It does.
I always like to ask one last question before you close and pray for us. She's going to pray over us in just a moment. But we've kind of touched on Peter in the boat, and this is coming from John. But I would love to know, other than Jesus, who is the person in the Bible that's really most inspired you to make your life matter, like you have for so many years for the kingdom?
There are so many, it's very hard to
I
whittle down
know.
to
I
one at this moment. And I would say that over the years, there's been different seasons where somebody is more prevalent in your life and
Sure.
you're like, you identify with. I mean, I think probably everybody identifies with David because he's so honest and his relationship with God from, I feel this, but then I will trust you, and so, I mean, that's very inspiring. Great Bible characters, Old Testament and New Testament. But I would say, because of the season that I'm in right now, I see my position, but also to champion other women as Deborah's in the faith.
I love that.
Because Deborah said, until I, Deborah, arose a mother of Israel. And that doesn't mean just a natural mother, a blood mother, a relative. But the beauty of the body of Christ is that if you, whatever you don't have in the family, you can have in a spiritual sense. I have spiritual mamas and grandmas and spiritual aunties. My kids have had spiritual grandparents when we're away from our close relatives. And I just say Deborah because she was fearless, it sounds. She was a formidable woman, and I don't see myself as that necessarily, but as an example and aspiring to take hold of whatever God had put in her hand, which was a judge of Israel in a very male-dominant society, but she stood her ground and rose a mother of Israel. And that's what I would like to capitalize on, is as I am a mom and a grandma, that is what I function out of. I mean, it's not just about men and women and girls and boys. We're the family of God. It's about brothers and sisters and mothers, spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, really. And I think the language does matter. And so as women, we say, you know what, until I put your name in the blank, Angela Rose, a mother of Israel. What do? Mothers care, mothers nurture, mothers pray. Don't touch my kids, right? And we can get
Mama
fierce
Bear.
about that. That's right, Mama Bear. And that we can get fierce about that. And I think that is the posture and the day that we're living in, that we have to fight not only for our own families or our friends, but also this generation that the enemy is really trying to snag away from the Lord, that we rise up as mothers of Israel, spiritual mothers, and be bold and take our place, and especially in prayer. That's where it's going to be won, in prayer.
I love that, Nanda. It's so powerful. And I think the theme of this whole conversation has been tend to your own heart, tend to your own relationship with the Lord, know how much He loves you. And then out from that, Deborah was able to lead so beautifully because her confidence was in who she was. You know, her relationship with God was confident. And I mean, she's an amazing leader and woman. And maybe we're called to lead like Deborah, maybe we're not, but wherever God's calling you, your home,
That's
your
right.
family, your ministry, your school, your workplace, it's to just know that God loves you, be captivated by His love, trust in that, and then you'll be able to do those suddenly moments we've talked about, to step out, to lead with boldness and confidence, because God is raising up daughters. He's looking for men and women who will not only love Him, but then love others the way that He's calling us to. And so, thank you so much, Ananda. I'm not surprised that it was Deborah. I think she's wonderful, powerhouse. Cannot wait to meet her in heaven. And I'll put in the show notes, but remind us again where we can go to get a copy of Captivated. Then I would love to invite you to pray for us.
Sure. You can find it at myhealthychurch.com, and all of our items are there. And you can get that. What you're holding up is our free magazine. And actually, this is a copy of, yes, of Captivated. And also, you know what? I've been so blessed because I came with an idea this year about, again, I'm just brand new to my position, but I really wanted this to reflect kind of what Bible studies look like right now in other organizations, and not to copy, but they're very visually driven. There's a lot of journaling places to think, to ponder. And I think these exercises help us to evaluate where we are and then to be honest with ourselves and to say, okay, this Lord, here I am. So please grow me, mature me, move me farther down the line. And He will do that.
I love it. It's beautiful as well. It's a
Thank you.
beautiful design. And thank you, Nanda. We also just want to pray for you and just all that God is calling you
Thank
to
you.
do. So if you're listening today, just now lift Nanda's name up in the Lord to the Lord as you pray. And think especially of women and how God is using women in our generation, not only here in the States, but around the world. We just, like you said, I don't want to go anywhere that the Lord's not leading. But if He is leading, I want to say yes. I feel confident, not in my own abilities, but in God's grace to guide me. And we respond with obedience, and He is so gracious to lead us. So, Nanda, thank you for all you're doing for the kingdom, the way you're leading women so powerfully, and you have your pulse right on the heartbeat of women and what God is doing. So, would you pray for us, especially for women who may, just as we've talked today, maybe just really need to step out, maybe try a different approach in their relationship with the Lord, and to just know that God truly loves them and He has such great plans for them, and they can trust in His love. So would you close us in prayer?
I will. And before I do that, can I just interject this and say that many years ago, I found this little book by Lynn Hybels called Nice Girls Don't Change the World. And it is just a tiny little book, but it talks about her journey and where she had a mental breakdown, actually, because she was serving in ministry and she was trying to do it how she thought it should be done. And she said nice girls because she was a pastor's wife and she had to be nice and she had to say yes and she had to be available for everybody. And God really met her in her crisis and changed her in her languages to a dangerous woman. From a nice girl to a danger, and that has kind of been my I say mantra, I would say for myself, but also for the people or the women that I've been fortunate to lead, to say, you know what, this is a time to not be stuck in the mud, to have our own ideas, but to be a force to be reckoned with. And that's when we are an unstoppable army when that happens. So okay, let's pray.
Amen, Nanda. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everyone who is listening. And I just pray, Lord, that you know exactly where they are. You're meeting them exactly where they are. Lord, there is no condemnation from you. But Lord, you do draw us and woo us to yourself. And Lord, as the woman in the well, at the well, when Jesus met her life was a mess. And he pointed out things. Lord, you pointed out things to this woman at the well and said, your life is not in order. And it didn't compel her or didn't repel her. It compelled her closer to you. And I pray for that we would take inventory, Lord, women across this nation and around the world, that we would take inventory of where we are and that we would be honest with you, that we would pray and seek your face, and that, Lord, we would be found by you and you would find us. Father, I thank you that as we mine for the truth, as we dig out, Lord, the gems of the Word of God, sometimes we have to dig. Sometimes we have to study and work at knowing, Lord, what the Word says, because the Word is above our circumstances. The promises of God are above what we're experiencing in our mind and our body and in our life. So, Lord, I just pray that you would meet my friends, Lord, exactly where they are, that your presence would captivate them, that they would be enthralled, Lord, anew. Father, I pray that you would ignite that fire, Lord, and that flame within us, that we would watch over it, God, and keep it burning. Father, and we don't run on emotions. We don't run on circumstances. We are women of faith. And because of that, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to keep the blinders on, that we don't get sidetracked, derailed by anybody else, because we know you, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, I pray, God, for a special anointing, a special covering over women today, and that you would draw them close to you, and that, Lord, they would rise up and as an army, Father, of mothers that would storm the gates of heaven, Father God, and pleading and calling on you for the children of this nation, Lord God, who are being deceived and trapped and falling away. Lord, they don't know about you. They don't know about a loving God. And we just pray, Father, that this generation would know you in a powerful way and that it would spark revival, Father, until you come. Lord, help us. Lord, we are weak. We are human. We are feeble, but you know that because you made us. But because in our weakness, you are made strong. Fill us with your spirit, God, and get us on mission that we would be serving you all the days of our life. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. With God, nothing is possible. Con Dios, todo es posible, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com, Facebook at Angela Donatio VOV, and Instagram at Angela Donatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.